Nation. My name is Anthony Delgado, and today we have an incredible world star guest. I've been trying to get him on my show for years, I feel like, and it took a global pandemic to get him on the show, but I'm super, super grateful to have him on. It is David Meltzer. He's the host of Entrepreneur Magazine's The Playbook podcast. He is a top 100 business coach, a global public speaker, and three-time international best-selling author. David, thank you so much for being on the show, my friend.
Thank you for having me, man. I'm excited to be here, hopefully help some people in a time of uncertainty and accelerated change, but no better time to work my mission, which is to empower others to be happy. So I think happiness is at an all-time need right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, in times of massive disruption like this, there's also massive opportunities. And even with all this negativity or adversity that we're facing, I'm actually happier than I've ever been. I'm spending more time with my wife. I'm working out. I'm eating at home. We used to go to all these restaurants, and we were always looking for happiness outside. And now we're able to find it inside. So yeah, it's you know, kind of like a gift and a curse, but I'm definitely grateful for what I do have right now, right?
You know, honestly, like, I'm not even worried about the economics. If it wasn't for people getting sick and dying, I would say that there's only, you know, the majority of the things that are happening, even the financial restructuring inefficiencies that are created, you know, I'm not seeing too many bad things other than people getting sick and people dying. You know, I, of course, always my heart goes out, but the unification in the families, the communities, the country and the world, the efficiencies that are being created, the connectivity that's being created, the opportunities that are being created. You know, it's always nice to have a release of waste. And I think you just said individually how much waste you found in your life. You know, I've been teaching this stuff for over a decade, and, you know, once again, radical humility slaps me upside the face and said, "Hey, Mr. Efficiency, Effectiveness, and Statistical Success, let me show you how efficient, how effective, and statistically successful you can be, and look at all the waste that you could be in energy and resources and money and time, all of these things you could be giving to other people to help them. You know, if your real mission is to help them, let's make sure that we're doing things and keep on learning and be the hypocrite you are and live with humility."
Definitely. So in times like this, you know, businesses definitely have a responsibility. Entrepreneurs have a responsibility. I always felt that, but I feel like in times like this, it's even more. How can we bring compassion to capitalism in crises like this? What should business owners be doing?
You know, what they should be doing is getting tough, right? If we want to have compassion, you have to get tough enough not just to live in a world for yourself. You know, first of all, you should never live in the world of not enough when things are happening to you as a victim. And there's a small percentage of the people right now that are living in blame, shame, justification. They're victimized by this. And you can't live in a scarce environment. But the majority of the people are realizing, I've been living in a world of for me. Of just enough for me. And I lived in that world. I had everything I ever dreamed of for me. This is an opportunity to you to shift the paradigm, to everyone to live and challenge themselves to be tough enough to live in a world of more than enough. Tough enough to believe with faith and desire, free will, in, you know, a lens of productivity, accessibility, and gratitude, to live in a world of more than enough for not just you, but for everyone. And to challenge ourselves that it's not just me surviving, it's thriving so that I can help other people. And if you're sitting at home in that world of even victimization of everything's happening to you and you're hopeless, depressed, or even suicidal, and I've had many people reach out to me in these states of mind, one, you have control of your mindset, and two, go do something for someone else. You want to change your perspective instantly? Go do something for someone else. That's the easiest way to learn about what compassionate capitalism is, because you will start making room for what you want. Challenge yourself, if you can make a dollar, to make sure 10 cents of it goes somewhere else. Or if you can make a dollar, try to make two, $1 for someone else, $1 for you. You cannot be poor enough to make people rich, but you can be rich enough to make more people rich. And so allow things to come you through you for others.
I love that. And Yeah, I mean, people, when they're in states of misery, it's usually when they're focused too much on themselves. What don't I have? And the easiest way to get out of misery is when you start focusing on servicing others, because all of a sudden your heart opens up and it's like, what can I do for others? And opportunities get created. Like it's really amazing. When the pandemic first happened here in Puerto Rico, we gave away 100 laptops to students and business professionals and people that have to work from home because all the stores were closed. So you couldn't even buy a laptop if you wanted to. And yeah, there was nothing that made me feel better than being able to do that. And instantly my focus went from, oh, look, someone commented in the live chat. They said, oh, I'm one of the students.
That's awesome.
Yeah, instantly my mindset went from like, oh, I don't have enough food or enough eggs or enough, the supermarket's closed, whatever the kind of day-to-day stuff was going, to, no, how can I service other people? And it's really the quickest way to go from misery to happiness is to focus on servicing others.
Yeah, that's amazing. And it will, you know, we don't trade things, you know. We are all constantly, when we're giving, a lot of people put conditions or judgments or expectations on giving. But if we truly can give without expectation, it's amazing what we get back. And so, you know, give without guilt, give without expectation. And it's just amazing, and allow everything to happen around you. What I always say is money doesn't disappear, it just slows down. So when you're giving away 100 laptops to students and businesses, you're speeding up money. Maybe not today's money or maybe not tomorrow's money, but you know, I have seen unbelievable things happen and people don't forget. That laptop, you know, you're gonna hear a story about this kid right here, I can tell. 30 years from now, he's gonna tell a story when he saved millions of lives and how he went and got to scholarship to school, and he would have had to drop out of school but for the fact that he had a laptop because some kind man who gave him this. And I see, I'm old enough now, man. I see the, you know, I always say plant seeds under trees that you'll never sit under, but I've seen the trees grow and I'm sitting under the trees today. And I know for every one tree I get to sit under, these stories that come out about being kind to my future self, being a compassionate capitalism, there's thousands of other trees that I'll never sit under. And that is the beauty of what compassionate capitalism is about. That's what I want people to focus in on, whether you're in receivership like that young student, or whether you're in giving, whichever mode you're in, they're equally as important. They are absolutely one. Remember, happiness is a disease. It's a virus. It's the strongest virus. It's the most viral virus. It spreads just by witnessing it. People that will witness that incident where that chat came through, the validation of happiness, of giving, serotonin was released in my mind. You made me happy. I had an instant mindset switch, and the people that witness it are happy. Here's the best thing about happiness. It strengthens your immune system. It kills all other viruses. So if you want to be strong and tough, then be happy and share happiness with others, and it will be viral and will change this whole world very quickly.
Yeah, I mean, it has a domino effect, and you know, there's such a thing as pay it forward. Like, I had people, some people were really skeptical at first. They're like, is this real? Like, people will get to the location, they're texting, is this real? Is this, even they drove all the way there. People drove like an hour, some of them, to get the laptops, and then they would get there and be like, is this real? But then on the flip side, people were also like, I'm going to pay it forward. Don't worry. Once I get a new laptop, what do I do? Do I give it back to you? And I was like, no, it's yours. And they're like, okay, then I'm going to go out. I'm going to find someone that needs it once I don't need it anymore. And it's like a domino effect. It's amazing. And like you said, it's almost better when you're not looking for something in return. I feel like a lot of times people, you know, they give and they're automatically their hands out waiting to receive, and it's kind of the wrong way to give. When you give selfishly, the effects are much better. Okay, I want to get into practical stuff. I know we don't have that much time. So right now, I know you're a business partner in an app called Modi, right? And it allows like consulting. That's actually how we connected through Hugo. And what are the things that people, what are like the, maybe the top three practical things that people can be doing right now, leveraging, you know, technologies like Modi, leveraging the digital economy, everyone's online. I feel like there's more opportunities. Everyone's like in front of a computer on the internet. What are like maybe the top three businesses that people can be getting into, or tweaks that they could be making to their business to take advantage economically of what's going on right now.
Yeah, so the number one thing you can do activity-wise is to be a student of your calendar, right? Time is such a different creature within the context of new environments with new distractions and new modes of transportation, business, et cetera. Everything we have to rethink. So if you're taking inventory of your values every day and being a student of your calendar, looking at how productive you can be, meaning how much value you can provide, two, how accessible you can be, and three, how grateful you are for everything that you have planned in that calendar, and also studying. When I say study, I don't mean look at it. I mean pay attention to and give intention to the coincidences that you want during the day according to the values that you want, personal, experiential, giving, and receiving. And if you study what you have planned and you study what you don't have planned, the white space, the empty space, and you study your sleep, making sure that you wake up tomorrow morning at a certain time, that you stick to a routine so you can be productive, accessible, and gracious. The first thing you need to do is, in the context of those lenses of productivity, accessibility, and gratitude, with attention, intention, and the coincidences you want, utilizing, taking inventory of your values, studying your calendar, you will create more, be more productive and accessible. There's no doubt about it. You need to make that habit happen. Two, opportunity. How the easiest way to take opportunity is take inventory of your capabilities and then go look at the 50 best performing stocks and see how your capabilities are synergistic or supplementary to the capabilities that those stocks have, those industries, those businesses, and you'll find huge opportunities right now of things, capabilities that people are valuing, right? There's certain capabilities that you have that are synergistic, supplementary, or you may have the capability of finding those synergies or finding those capabilities or brokering those synergies or brokering those capabilities. Either way, there's huge opportunity in understanding what is performing right now. And like you said, in the digital realm, building a community, you know, there's all types of, you know, different things. Then go look at the second area of business, the ones that are stable, the ones that from January 1st all the way to April 1st have not moved an inch. Go ahead, once again, find the capabilities that are similar and synergistic. Find people that have synergistic, broker deals that are synergistic, or those aren't moving, and keep those for the future, knowing that you're always going to have a portion of your business or your capabilities that are synergistic. Then look at those stocks, the top 50 stocks that have been crushed, and look and see for the future what capabilities you have to buy those things or broker those things or sell those things or channel partner those things that have been oversold. The margins of millionaires are made during these drastic times of change. In the Depression, more millionaires were made than any other time. You live in the middle of a miracle, in the middle of the margin of the millionaires, and you need to either figure out that inventory of capabilities of each of these three realms to be synergistic, supplementary, broker them, sell them, channel partner them, find some way to get in the way of the flow of the currency, of the object of energy, money that you put into the flow, that's all speed up the flow of giving, the flow of abundance, the flow of currency, and get in the way and bring other people and push them in the way as well. And I think that capability number two is essential after you use your time in a productive, accessible, and gracious way. Finally, the third thing that you should do is know what you are certain of. This is a time of compressed uncertainty. Uncertainty brings anxiety, fear, change, corrosion, interference to the greatest source of inspiration. Understand there's a difference between motivation and inspiration. Motivation will get you started. Inspiration will take you there. I try to live in the world of inspiration and take everybody there. I allow guys like my boy Gary and other people that get people motivated. I've watched too many football games, watched the San Diego Chargers be very motivated, but they can't get there. Right? Atlanta Falcons, very motivated in that Super Bowl, but the inspired team won. Tom Brady seems to be the inspirational guy. So what do? We have to go to certainty in order to be inspired. You are certain of what we control. And so you control four things. Okay. Number one, you control your mindset. So practice making sure you have the right mindset. Two, you control your feelings. Make sure that you practice ending fear and taking control of your feelings. Three, you control what you say, but you also control what you hear. Surround yourself with the right people and the right ideas. Don't have an ambionic sound of negativity all the time around you with people and news and podcasts. Go ahead, surround yourself with what you want. Vote for what you want. You control what you say and what you hear. Finally, you control what you do. So now, if you're going to control what you do, let's control it with being a student of our calendar, with the lens of productivity, accessibility, and gratitude. Let's look strategically at the capabilities that we have that are synergistic and supplementary, either that we can use, broker, sell, or channel partner with, and you will create abundance through all types of opportunities, not only now, but next week and deep into the future.
Definitely. I love that. There's so much value there, so much to unpack. First you were talking about like certain companies are going to thrive, right? So I invested in Walmart when the whole market dipped. I invested in Walmart and then it shot right back up and it hit all-time highs again. And the same thing with Amazon. Amazon just hit all-time highs. So yes, some companies are struggling, but other companies are going to get created. And then, like you said, I mean, if you look through history, Disney was created in the Great Depression of 1929. Microsoft was created during the oil crisis in the 70s. Google was created right before the dot-com bubble. Uber was created in 2008 in the last crash. So every time there's a crash, there are winners and losers, but there's so much opportunity that gets created. So, you know, I'm really pumped. And I feel like there's also like a great awakening that's happening. So many people are getting in touch with, like you said, what they take for granted and what they, you know, what was right underneath their nose, but they didn't realize. You know, just me and my personal life, me and my wife, we used to go to all these resorts. We live in Puerto Rico, so like resorts are 20 minutes away. So we would like go to Cocoa Beach for a weekend and go to this resort, the Vanderbilt. And we were looking for happiness outside and it was creating misery. And now we're here, we're in the house. We quote unquote have less, we're living much simpler. And even like the house cleaning service isn't allowed to come. It's not an essential service. So me and my wife, she does the dishes now and I hug her while she's doing the dishes. And it's like all these small things of life that we took for granted. And now they're opportunities to find more happiness, find more fulfillment, and focus on things that matter.
Yeah, I think pragmatically as well, you know, it's the ability to take a break and save two things, save time and save money, right? We can learn to save time and save money. Both of those things will change your life, regardless of what external factors and variables occur or don't occur. If you save time and save money, you will be better off. I promise you. If you know, I tell people all the time, I'll give everybody 2 weeks vacation right now. While you're at home, while you're in quarantine, figure out where to put your keys, your wallet, and your phone. 80 hours on average are spent trying to find things that you lose. The majority of thing you lose is your wallet, your keys, and your phone. So I just saved everybody 80 hours of your life every single year. That's 2 weeks vacation that Dave Meltzer gave you. So make sure you use some of that time to come to my free trainings for an hour on Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific time. That's all I ask for my two weeks of vacation that I just gave everybody. But in all seriousness, I've always had a focus in on how can I save more time? How can I save more money? Both only attract more time and more money. So remember, likes attract likes. So you want to have a nice, go ahead and have a nice nest egg of time and money that you've saved.
Definitely. I love that. So let's talk a little bit about defense real quick. So I'm super optimistic. I'm pumped. I'm like going full steam ahead. But we also have to play a little bit of defense in these economic times. So what are you doing defensively to maybe protect yourself, protect your assets, protect your companies? Have you made any like major changes defensively?
I made my defensive changes in 2008 when, as you know, I lost everything. So I lost on paper over $100 million. And I decided that I was going to use my time, energy, emotion, and focus to making money. And that when, and I was good at it, I have a quantum ability. I was a millionaire 9 months out of law school. I have a quantum ability. It's inherent in me, just like someone may be a great baseball, basketball, or football player, have great physical ability. I have a great quantum energy of attracting wealth, and I've always had it. But this time, what I wanted to learn was how can I take the defensive position to not only save my money, but save the time, resources, energy, and emotion that I put into things. So as much as I knew certain industries would recover, And I'll give you an example. I've been around sports and gambling and entertainment. Gambling is an area I know very well because 20 states in the last 18 months have legalized gambling. But because of the circumstances, no sporting events, no mass gatherings, gambling got crushed. There were some big gambling stocks that got crushed. And in the old days, I would have bought. And now it went up four times, right? I would have four times my money in literally days. But that didn't bother me because the amount of times that I used to do that, time, emotion, and energy focusing on these stocks, should I sell it now? If I do, I have to pay 52% on taxes. And what if I don't? Where's the buy? All this time. And meanwhile, my brain, all that time, energy, and emotion, I could have already doubled the amount of money that I made every week focusing that time, emotion, and energy. That's how I lost everything, getting out of focus. So I went on the defensive and I put all my money into secured annuities so that I make a minimum of 2% on the way down. I get about 60 or 70% of the up every year. So whatever that return is, but I never can lose my money. At worst, I make 2% on my money. But the best value of that to me is forget, you know, the average 7-8% I make a year. The best value is the amount of money I make because I, when the market crashed, when it went up, I haven't looked at the stock market other than for the capabilities of the top 50, the sustained 50, and the crush 50. I looked at it for the capabilities of how I can make more money, not invest at all in those stocks at all. And so, you know, for me, my defense is to focus in on the intake and try to minimize any energy, emotion, void shortages, and obstacles that are created by taking my eye off the main ball, which is the richer I am, the richer I can make others.
Yeah, I love that. That's so true. And that's one of the big shifts that I've had. And that's why I'm actually even more pumped, because I'm not only thinking about the money I can make for me, but I'm like, hey, you know, one of my friends from high school lost his job. I want to be able to help him. My mom who does e-commerce, she's struggling a little bit right now. How can I help her? So it's like, once you shift your focus to how can you help others, I want to buy more laptops and give them, like, all these different things. Your problems get a lot smaller when you focus on servicing others. I think that's incredible. Okay, cool. So there is one last question that we ask all our guests. And, you know, in Spanish, the word disrupt doesn't have a direct translation. And I know in the entrepreneurial startup community, it definitely does mean a little bit more than to break up or to interrupt, which is what the word traditionally means. So the word disrupt, what does disrupt mean to you?
Change, right? Unfortunately, people may take a negative connotation to disrupt, but disrupt just is change. When things change, it's disruptive. It has, you know, some circumstances that allow us to see the margins of millionaires, the opportunity. So if things change, you can look at it two ways. And this is the simplest philosophy I give people, and please write it down and live by the control of your mindset. Somebody asked me why I believe in past lives and future lives. And I said, I'll tell you why, because nobody can prove it. And so I have a choice. I have a choice. Which one is better and which one is worse? So I always choose the better one. So, you know, if you give me a choice, do I want to live just life, this life, or do I want to live multiple lives? I'm taking multiple. That's literally why I believe what I believe. So the same thing holds true with disruption or change. I have lived my life that when things change, they're changing for the better. I am the chief betterment officer. They're disrupting for the better. Everything's pushing me to a better situation or to make my situation better. Every girl that dumped me, it was because I had a better person I'm supposed to be with. And I proved that by marrying the best and having this incredible woman I dreamed of. And, you know, everything's for the better. And people ask me, well, how can you believe that? You know, here's this statistic and here's this, you know, and I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I just know one thing, you know, 99% of all statistics are made up, right? That's the only statistic I know to be true. So coming from there, I got one choice, which one's better. And I'm going to choose the better choice. And until someone can prove that difference, I know mathematically choosing the better outdoes choosing the worst.
Absolutely. I love that. Yeah. I mean, these things, they're not happening to you, they're happening for you, right? What is the
opportunity? Through me, buddy. Through me for others, not for me. I lived a whole life like that. It ain't worth it. Because the difference, if it happens for you, you're filled. If it happens through you, you're fulfilled. And you want to be a fulfilled person.
I love that. That's deep. So if you were 18 years old again, you're starting from scratch. You know what you know now, but you have no money, no resources, no brand, no company. You're starting from scratch, and all you have is Wi-Fi and a dream. What advice would you give your younger self?
The advice I'd give myself at 12, 22, 32, 42, and even 52 is always the same. Radical humility. You need to practice ending fear. You need to ask for help. If I could give any piece of advice to myself is, boy, learn two series of questions. Learn to be an expert at a series of questions of how you can provide service and value to others. And ask a series of questions of how others can provide service and value to you. If you learn those two series of questions through radical humility, that you are just part. The analogy that I've come up with is, there's this sun that carries all the light, the love, the lessons, and energy. You're not just a solar panel, but you are an appreciating solar battery. You receive all the light, the love, and the lessons, and you can store that and appreciate it, add value to it. Now, through radical humility, you need to give it away. You need to give your light to other people to allow them to appreciate the light and add value to that and allow them to give it away and give it away. And we can create this collective consciousness through this fundamental philosophy of radical humility, that there is always something greater than me. And that's the oneness of everything, the oneness of all, the oneness of everything and every being. And there's more than enough for all of us. So for me, if I remind my, and look, I'm still on the journey, right? I believe in enjoying the consistent, persistent pursuit of this potential. I'm sitting in, you know, my home with radical humility going, hey, dummy, you did it again. You know, you let your ego get in the way. You spent all this time, money, and resources stroking your ego that you're the famous podcaster and movie star and TV show guy and sports legend and sports humanitarian, and the list will go on. And you told yourself you weren't listening to it, but then why you have to travel around the world all the time with five people all around you with six cameras when you could have done the same thing sitting on Zoom and given all that money to other people to help them be rich? There's some ego involved there, son. So let's learn the lessons of radical humility. Let's be efficient, effective, statistically successful. Allow everything to come through you. You know, it's how we met is Hugo Sanchez and Modi. I started my career in legal research and legal technology. And what I loved about it was the abundant nature of, you know, in practices, whether it's telemedicine, which is Modi's being utilized today for legal work, consultative work. You know, we play around with manipulation, overselling, back-end selling, and dishonesty. And what I loved about it was this capability. I would spend so much time in person. We could use Modi for this one-on-one, and it would keep track of my time and bill you exactly what we agreed upon, right? Not roll it up to every 20 minutes or 30 minutes, not me manipulate, lie, cheat, oversell, or you doubt how much time I spent in the communication of value. And so, you know, whether this is telemedicine, consulting, legal work, you know, the technology out there helps us along the way with radical humility, with the efficiencies, effectiveness, and statistical success that we need so that we have time to have dinner with our families. We have time to appreciate the homes that we have built, the communities that we have lived in, that we have time to actually enjoy and be happy and spread the most viral of all viruses, happiness, to everyone and strengthen everyone's immune system.
That's incredible. David, thank you so much again for being on the show. If people want to connect with you on social media, they want to learn more about you, your books, everything that you're up to, your podcast, where's the best places for them to do that?
Yeah, at David Meltzer, Google David Meltzer, the name's right there. I do trainings on Fridays. You can text me 949-298-2905. Join my text community, get all the notifications of all the free stuff. I give my books for free. I train for free. You know, I'm here to be of service and of value. I give my computers away as well for free. You're amazing and You made my whole day, by the way, that story. And even more than just the story, the student that came on and thanked you, the validity in this, you know, this realm of giving is extraordinary. So please reach out to me. I got to put, you know, Playbook is my podcast. Elevator Pitch is my TV show. I'm top business coach. I do just a variety of things to help other people. And please reach out, David Meltzer. My email is david@dmeltzer.com. You can reach me anyway. I'm not afraid to help.
Incredible. David, thank you so much for being on the show, my friend.